Welcome to Bubbles and Books, a podcast about two of the best things in life, books and champagne. Brought to you by Amanda and Ellen, co-owners of your local independent bookstore, Dog Ear Books in Amazon.
First, give me a cheers.
Cheers. And books are sexy.
Welcome to Bubbles and Books. It's time to get some bubbles popping.
Woo!
Oh, shit.
I did not shake that. That was an accident.
It was probably Rachel.
Wow. I only have like a little bit on my pants.
This is what I tell Rachel. Everything's her fault.
The dog is cleaning it up. She's
good
licking
job,
the carpet.
Love. You lick up that champagne off the carpet.
Be right
we know
back.
How to take care of our employees.
That was like a science experiment. Austin would tell me I don't know how to open champagne.
I have seen you open champagne fine most of the time.
It's the champagne, not me.
This is the bottle, yeah.
It's the bottle, not me. Bottle problems.
I do not think it was user error in this situation.
It might also be because we're drinking room temperature bubbles today.
I'm not, because I am putting ice in my champagne, which Amanda will not stoop to that level.
I don't know, maybe.
I don't think it has to be, because if it was like a proper tasting, they wouldn't be tasting it chilled necessarily. They might be tasting it at like a cellar temperature, which means...
I mean, I don't think it has to be chilled. Just personally, I want it chilled right now.
Yeah, I'm not...
And it wasn't chilled.
I'm not
so I put ice in it.
Rachel, are you joining us?
Didn't Ellen put ice in a glass for me? No, she didn't.
I was passing you the ice.
You said you were going to.
So let me tell you about what we're drinking today. It is room temperature cereal. I think I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, probably. I think it's Spanish. It's from the castle of Grubach. It's a natural sparkling wine. Yeah, it's a cava. It came from Spain. I'm so good at it. I may not be able to pronounce things, but I knew what I was getting into here.
That's good. Thank you.
All right. What are we up to today? What are you reading, Ellen?
Well, I want to talk to you about what I just finished because it was
tell
so
me
fucking good.
You
and then I'll
like
tell you what I started.
So enthusiastic. You are funny because you finish your book club books like just in time.
Usually, like, yes.
Like either the night before or usually that morning.
Sometimes that morning, yes.
I would say at least 50% of the time.
You're accurate. I finished it the night before this time.
Ooh, wow. So advanced.
Very
advanced. You were like so enthused when you came in the morning.
Yeah, it's Absolution by Alice McDermott, which I did talk about on the last episode, but now I'm done with it. So it is such a well-done novel. I was trying to describe it to Jess this morning because it's a pretty straightforwardly told story of two women, 1963, Saigon. So this is pre, like, us getting into combat over there, but we have sent our military personnel over there, non-combat people, like officers and stuff, to attempt to prevent escalating conflict. Obviously, we know how that worked out. But these women are there. They are wives of, like, military personnel officer people. And it's the story of these two women there over the course of about a year. And what I love about this book is that even though it feels like a straightforwardly told story and there aren't a ton of characters in it, there is so much fucking going on in this story that I will be thinking about it for a long, long time.
Okay, so, adding it to my TBR right now. Keep going.
So I love when an author is like, I'm not gonna like beat you over the head with my meaning. Like, you got to figure it the fuck out yourself. Also, I'm going to plop you into this gray area and you're just going to sit there and be uncomfortable. And I'm not going to pluck you out of it. And that's what Alice McDermott does with this book. So this book is about like one's moral obligation and duty in the world with the one life that you have to live.
Wow.
Okay. So the central question
that's
is
big,
right? And there's so many layers to this because you're in Vietnam. There's, you know, you're talking about colonialism. You're talking about racism. There's all sorts of layers happening here. Classism. Okay. But the central question, I think, that is explored in this novel. And I would argue that she does not give us an answer to this question. Is our obligation, she calls it the gobbling whirlwind, the chaos of the world, the injustice and just horribleness that happens in the world. Is your obligation as a human being to shout back at the gobbling whirlwind, to do what you can to mitigate the injustice of the world? Like acts of kindness, like do not turn away from suffering. Like
yeah.
whatever you can in your life, fix the problems of the world, knowing that you probably will not make much of a dent.
Wow.
Or is your moral obligation to hold close the people closest to you in your circle, your family, your friends, your own community, and protect them at all costs? To whom do you have a broader moral obligation?
Oh my God, that sounds so amazing.
And is it different for everybody? And she doesn't really, like I said, she doesn't answer that question.
Did you answer the question for yourself?
No, but I will say that it's something I wrestle with pretty frequently. Like, as a person who has been, you know, especially in my younger days, very much an activist, and now I'm like in the throes of motherhood, and sometimes I feel like, man, have I lost it? You know, it's like, it's not that I don't care about the gobbling whirlwind, as it were, but sometimes I feel like, man, I have to put first, you know.
Yeah.
So I have to put first my children sometimes.
Yeah.
And I have to give my energy, I have to put my energy into these people right now. And I only have so much, it's a finite resource.
Right.
And then I feel guilty about it. But these are things that I wrestle with. And I think a lot of people wrestle with it. And I don't think the book answered the question for me, but
I like what you said about maybe there's a right answer that is different for everyone.
Yeah. And it also wrestles with things like, do your motives matter?
Right.
Does your intent matter? I mean, you have one character in the book who's very much believes in, like, you shout back at the gobbling whirlwind, but she's a fucking bulldozer. All right. She's a white savior. She presumes to know what is best for people without asking them. Right. And I could say, you know, like, she's in some ways, she's a very admirable character because she doesn't turn away from suffering. But she's also kind of fucked up too, because she's misguided in her efforts much of the time. And sometimes she causes more harm than she does good. But is that better than doing nothing and like not even like refusing to even look at the suffering of the world?
Right.
And these are the things that the book grapples with. And so it's really complicated. And I love it. And the characters are also really like complicated because they're flawed people.
Like, as we all are.
I didn't like the two main characters, but I also didn't, I had a great deal of empathy for both of them too. Like, I didn't hate either of them. Part of me is like, they're two people trying to live their life, you know?
That's how I felt about the characters in The Latecomer.
Yeah, it is, dare I say, masterpiece.
That's high praise.
Dare I say.
Yeah, you dared.
I dared. It was so fucking good. And I'm not very far into it. Martyr by Kaveh Akbar. And oh my God, first sentence was like, just right straight out the gate, I was like, oh, this motherfucker can write. So I'm really enjoying it. It's got this humor to it. So the main character, Cyrus, is an alcoholic, an addict. He's a poet. And when he was an infant, his mother died. And this is a true thing that happened in history, in an Iranian passenger plane that was shot down by the U.S. like on accident.
Yeah. And during the Iran-Iraq conflict.
Yep. And the U.S. never really atoned for that. But he grew up in Indiana. His dad moves him to Indiana, and he's raised by his father, and he's, you know, like this, you know, fucked up, you know, adult now. And so it's him sort of like grappling with like his culture, his heritage, like, and the complexity of, right, like, I didn't grow up in Iran. I lost my mother in this horrible way. And I grew up in a country that's responsible for this thing that happened. But also, as heavy as that sounds, and it is heavy, there is that like levity to the writing, and he's a really skilled writer. And Bailey's reading the book, and she told me that Tommy Orange and Kaba Akbar are besties, which totally resonates with me because I'm like, those were a couple baddies. And I said, Bailey, let's slide into their DMs and be like, come to Ames. We'll take you guys out to London Underground. It'll be so much fun. We'll be best friends all together.
So, yeah.
That's what I'm reading.
Kaba lives in Iowa City.
I think so. And actually, he's going to be in Des Moines for their Avid Library Series. March 21st.
So that sounds interesting. He's gonna get high praise.
And we've been trying to seduce him to come to our store. Yeah. So,
well, Tomvi's been a huge big fan of this book for quite some time now, and I've heard her talking about it and how much it meant to her. And so it went on my radar immediately too, and it sounds incredible, and I can't wait to read it.
I'm about halfway through it.
Yep. It's getting high praise all over the place, and we have pitched it to the powers that be, and we've had some interest, so you know, we're just gonna keep throwing it out there,
right?
But
it also has a really good cover.
It has a great cover.
Completely original approach.
Yeah, but I love the writing. It was one of those books that, like, from the very first paragraph I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna like this book. What are you reading?
All right, I'm still reading The Wildly Trippy Moonbound by Robin Sloan. Right now, the main character, Ariel, boy, is on a journey to a college of weird, W-Y-R-D, where he is going to learn how to defeat the dragons that hold Earth in kind of this frozen spot where they don't know what they're allowed to do because they might bring on the wrath of the dragons on the moon.
I want to go to the College of Weird and learn how to tame the dragons.
He's guided there by a speaking beaver.
Obviously.
Yeah, so the
obviously.
Beaver. The beaver colony rejected Ariel and his compatriots from their own mission. They said, no, we won't help you because you don't know how to argue correctly. They got into a little bit of trouble. But the one beaver decided, I'm going to help you find the answer.
Okay.
And they figured out how to go to the College of Weird by consulting the reeds. The reeds are what grow in the bog where the beavers live, and they're all connected by this like special intelligence. And they feed it into the fish that live underground in the water under the bog, and the fish hold all the answers.
This book sounds amazing.
It is. It's so trippy and fun. And like I said, very much like a Wizard of Oz.
And again, killer cover.
A killer cover. So I'll keep you updated on my very long trip.
I'm
going to
read it because I'm just into all of the things you say about it.
Right.
Beavers, wizards, dragons, College of Weird.
Yeah.
Like, sign me up.
It's very cool. I just started The Book of Love by Kelly Link. Kelly Link has been on a lot of people's radar. She was a Pulitzer Prize finalist. She is known for short stories previously, and I think potentially poetry. But this book starts with a scene in which we know that three high school seniors, Laura, Daniel, and Mo, disappeared almost a year ago, presumed dead. All of their families have dealt with their disappearance in difficult ways. But late one night, they suddenly reappear in the music classroom of their music teacher. And it becomes apparent that the music teacher has maybe some connections to the afterlife, has some weird magical powers. And he's balanced by this devil-like creature, man, who has held these three individuals captive, but they managed to escape from wherever they had been in the afterlife, in a scary dead place. They escaped, got the help of their teacher, who brought them back into their bodies, and they're allowed to return to their lives, but reality has been altered so that all of their families and everyone involved will assume that the three of them had just been at a musical conservancy in Scotland or Ireland, So there's this new reality that everyone's going to believe in. They're not allowed to speak of what they know about the deep, dark place that they were. They're living in fear of being dragged back to that dark place by the demon-like character. That's where I am. It's very horror-esque.
I'm interested in this book because, you know, she is known for short fiction, for short stories.
And this is a fatty.
Honker. It's a fatty. But, you know, I've heard really good things, so I'm interested to know your thoughts. And I will say, Amanda, you're like reading a little bit outside your norm right now. You're reading some trippy ass fucking shit.
This is called fiction fantasy. So this is going to be shelved in fantasy.
You're departing from the family drama and you're reading like LSD level.
Yeah. Occult, supernatural fiction. Occult
stuff, yeah.
But the reason why you would love it is because it's a coming of age novel.
I do love
it. It's right at that, like, we're on the verge of adulthood, figuring out who we are, what can we do for ourselves, what's out of our control. It's pretty cool. So check that out. It's at the store. You're joining us for the podcast.
Hey, what are you reading?
Oh my goodness. Well, I actually just started the same book as Amanda last night, but I'm only 11 pages in, so I learned some things that I didn't know I was going to get to. Because I don't always read the back of the book. No, it wasn't. So now I'm like more intrigued about what I'm going to be reading when I keep going into the book of love. I'm going to talk about a book I just finished. And give me a second because I didn't know I was going to be sharing. I thought you were just bringing me in for the main portion.
You're valuable for book reading too. All
right. This book I gave to Ellen this morning because it's screams Ellen when I finished it.
Amanda, did tell me when you started reading it, you were like, you have to read this book.
Uh-huh.
So I am going to read it. I will read it after Martyr.
It's called Oi by Melissa McGolan. She is also an Iowa Writers Workshop grad.
Good things grow in Iowa.
Does not live here, though. She lives on the East Coast somewhere, I believe.
Hey, she drank the water while she was here.
She did. So I feel like we have a connection, and I'm hoping that maybe she's going to do something in Iowa when the book comes out, because it's not quite out yet. It comes out in May. But it's called Oi by Melissa McGolan. It instantly is one of the most interesting books I've ever read from the first page, because you only get one side of the conversation. It is entirely all done through, like, if the main character is talking to her sister on the phone. So you are not getting the conversation, the words, the anything from the sister's other side. And you have this young girl who is 18 years old and is taking on a lot of pressure from her family because first it was Hurricane Irma. So it's like back in 2017. And then her grandmother falls ill. And all the pressure, her mom puts a lot of pressure on her to lose weight and be more Colombian and to not, to be at the success level that she viewed her sister was at. So she's got a lot of pressures coming at her, and also having to care for a lot of the family, because while her grandma's sick, she's playing translator. And then the mom's like, no, don't tell your grandmother. This is what they said. So they're also keeping things. And then there's also a lot of family secrets coming in. So you're getting one side of the conversation, but in some of the, like, explaining to her sister over the phone what's happening, you get more story for, like, conversations with her mom and her grandma and her sister and this aunt that comes in. And it is so incredible. I've never read anything like it. I was instantly confused because I'm like, why are the quotes not ending? Because the quote doesn't end till the end of the chapter.
Multiple phone calls or one entire phone call?
It's multiple phone calls. Okay. At first, I thought it was like one experience, the whole book, but no. So it's over quite a bit of time. So hurricane season into spring, basically, the following year. And it's set in Florida. Oh my God. Like, the last few chapters, I was reading like as if I was watching something so dramatic, because it was that freaking good. It's incredible, and it needs to be on everybody's TBR.
That's an interesting way to write a story. Yes. And I don't think I've read anything like structured in that way. So I'm interested to check it out.
I had it, and it's really quick because you don't want to put it down.
You got me a multi-generational family story.
Exactly. So I think you would like it, but it's it just instantly made me think Ellen, because she loves a good like young 18-year-old taking on the world story.
Make sure you feature that on social media and submit your social media feature form if you're a good employee.
Well, I haven't told May to do so. Well, it will be on Edelweiss. I'll fill out my Edelweiss. I've been really good about that.
We like to tell the publishers how much we love their books. Scratch their backs, maybe they scratch ours. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Melissa, yeah, we love a good back scratch. If you want to come to Dog Eared Books, I would gladly love to talk about your book with you, because it was so freaking good. I'm shocked that, like, how many good books I've read this year so far.
And it's, you know, I'm not shocked, but I think it bears repeating that the Iowa Writers Workshop, I mean, we say it, but it is actual facts, mm-hmm. is the greatest creative writing program in the world. Think about the talent that program cranks out. All right. Kaba Akbar, Claire Lombardo, this writer, Lee Cole, Brandon Taylor, Sochil Gonzalez. I mean, some of our favorites. Like, I mean, it's just, they're just cranking them out all over the place. Anyone who comes out of that program can fucking write.
We need to give them some bookmarks to hand out to their authors.
I haven't had a lot of five-star reads yet.
Can we come speak to one of your classes?
I haven't had a lot of five-star reads yet, but of, like, the few that I have, most of them are Iowa Writers Workshop authors.
Yeah. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah.
It's very special.
Okay. A lot of good books happening. Ellen, tell us what we're playing at today.
Well, Rachel gave me this idea because she and Deanne recorded a similar episode for their podcast Between the Covers, but then they suffered a hard drive tragedy and they lost the episode. So we're taking a moment of silence right now for that episode. Okay.
Thank you for that. I appreciate
But thank you for the idea.
Yeah, we'll just steal that.
We're calling this Playlist to Plot. Okay. So this is inspired by a really killer playlist that I created that everybody wants now. It's called Ellen Middle School Vibes. It is public on Spotify, so check it out. Here's how the game is going to work. I am going to name a song from my playlist, and I'm going to read you some of the lyrics from the song, and then together we're going to sort of workshop it and come up with a little plot synopsis.
You know what this makes me think of?
What?
Someone has done this. Alanis Morissette did Jagged Little Pill into a YA novel based on the musical that they created out of the work. This is great stuff. Well,
this is great stuff.
When I came up with the idea, it was because Deanne and I were trying to think of, like, concepts for our podcast. And I love when authors share the playlist to the book, like, what they were listening to while writing a book. And so I'm like, what if we took great titles and switch it up? We used Taylor Swift's newest album.
I feel like it's only fair because books are always being, like, harvested for movies. Mm-hmm. Like, I always feel like there's hardly any new movies that weren't a book first. I mean, I'm really happy when a book that I know is that's deserving can reach a broader audience. But, you know, let's steal from the creative arts out there, mm-hmm. you know, paintings and music and movies, and turn them into books.
Inspiration.
All right. The first song from my playlist that we're going to talk about, I was singing this to Derek, our UPS guy, today. He wasn't aware of the song, but now he knows.
I have video. I can share it.
And he's probably going to be thanking me for it for a long time.
No, he's not.
It's Insensitive by Jan Arden. Mm-hmm. Do you remember this song? Mm-hmm. She was a one-hit wonder, but it's a killer song.
Okay? Yeah.
All right, here are the lyrics.
I feel like it was featured in a movie. Keep going.
How do you turn your eyes from the romantic glare? How do you block the sound of a voice you'd know anywhere?
Ooh.
I can sing it for you if you want, but we might not need to do that.
Yeah, go.
How do you turn your eyes? Sing it, Rachel.
I don't know
the song. From the romantic glare. How do you block the sound of a voice you know anywhere?
That's a really good line, that second half. The glare one, meh. The voice one, I like that.
Okay, so some questions for us to consider. Who's our main character?
She is an adult who is over 35.
Yeah, let's just say her name is Penny.
Okay, Penny. She's over 35.
Yeah, for sure. She's 37.
She had a workplace romance, but they broke up.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And she has to watch, like, be engaged, like, around him at work events, dinners with clients.
That's the glare. The glare. It's just the,
yeah. It's over dinner. No. So they worked, but he got promoted. So it's the glare from his glass office.
Ooh. And all the other things. Also, you left
her behind.
And all the other things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's like a literal and metaphoric glare. Mm-hmm. What's his name? It's got to be something like Lincoln.
Yeah. Yeah. And he will, he will not be the one she ends up with in this story. Like, she is heartbroken and that's how the story starts. But someone, a knight in shining armor, an overlooked person.
Well, I don't know if she needs a knight in shining armor because I think she's a strong person, but it hurts because this person that she like loved left her behind.
Yeah, but we're creating a book, so she has to. If this is a romance.
Can't she save herself but also have another person that's like just there supporting?
Maybe a hint. Yeah. If it's fiction,
yeah,
there's not another person. But I am reading this into a romance.
Oh.
Like a Catherine Center romance. Mm-hmm. And so there will be someone who comes.
I was thinking it was going to be more serious. I wasn't thinking romance. Oh,
I mean, in the sense.
We're allowed at our old age, Rachel, to have romance.
No, not what I, don't you make me an ageist. I was not saying that.
I feel totally ageist vibes from you.
It was the theme of the what you guys were going with. Like, I'm sorry.
It's like we have to be killers of another of a certain age. It's like we're not allowed to have the happy ending.
We're not allowed. We're not allowed to have a romance.
You're so dumb. I'm gonna throw ice at you and put it in your drink.
I'm gonna shove ice down your shirt.
Okay, you called for this champagne. Drink up, Ellen.
I am. And then okay, so we need to circle back though to the lyrics of the voice. I feel like Lincoln needs to have like. A sexy voice too.
Oh yeah,
the guy
like, why does she want to forget it? She can hear it all the time. Like, what if at work he's in his office, but he also always like comes Javier over the Bandan. Speaker? Yeah, he's like, attention office workers. You know, like he's always coming over like the loudspeaker.
I don't know which offices have.
I think well, like
that. This is fiction, Rachel.
Okay, but I'm imagining the voice from if you've listened to one of Denise Williams' like romances, the guy that narrates her books. He's got that like real like sexy deep voice.
Okay, so Lincoln dumped her. Was it like a one night stand situation, or were they in a relationship?
No, they had been together.
Yeah,
and he went to like a different level.
Because
like,
it can't be a one night if you hear a voice. And,
he's
like,
upgrading.
You know it.
He's upgrading
in his mind,
and he's also he's got another workplace romance, and he's got a promotion with the glass.
Okay, but we
office.
Don't want it to be too Bridget Jones Diary.
True. Well, no, this is someone else in the workplace. Mm-hmm. That was in Bridget Jones. It was what the editor's daughter or the newspaper.
Oh, is that who
the
was?
Newspaper's daughter. So she was connected to work.
Okay.
But yes, this is a new side piece who is more superficially the image of what his high level of job requires for his social functions.
So is she going to leave this job? Is she going to go strike out on her own?
Yes. She's going to create her own firm.
Ooh. Oh.
I like it.
And she's going to bring
a boutique
the new
firm?
Person with her. The new heartthrob, and she will wear the pants.
Nice.
What if he's like a headhunter and he like approached her through LinkedIn? Because do you hear those stories about people trying to like find relationships through LinkedIn?
Ooh,
which is kind of creepy, but not sad. So not in the creepy way, but he's a headhunter. He sees her first for her talents of like her career, and then of course is like, wow, but she's also
I
beautiful.
Think in a full circle moment, though, because we have to, like, this is about it being insensitive, and Lincoln was very insensitive.
Yeah.
And I think as Penny progresses in her new job, like, she should not be insensitive to her new love.
Yeah.
And friends and people in her
life.
She's
very nurturing. She's HR and the CEO.
She has to have a moment of insensitivity, and then she has to be like, I don't want to be that bitch.
Okay, but borderline starting to... She can't. She's almost like going too far one way or the other because she's either too insensitive or now she's too people pleasing on being like nice to people.
All right, she'll walk the line.
Yeah,
she's got to walk the line, Penny.
Okay, give us a new plot.
All right,
new.
This next
Wait,
song.
What was the title of that book?
The title of the song is "Insensitive,"
okay, and that was the title of the book too. Yep.
Okay, this next one is
coming fall 2025.
Mbop by Hanson.
Mbop.
The lyric is, plant a seed, plant a flower, plant a rose. You can plant any one of those. Keep on planting to find out which one grows. It's a secret no one knows. Here are my questions before we start workshopping. Are the plants a metaphor for something else? If so, what? Why are we being secretive about gardening? And what genre is this? I'm feeling something witchy. Like yeah. a garden. Like there's like a witch. There's like a witch in a garden.
I felt like this was like a mushroom and weed grower. And it was a comedy.
Ooh, oh, no. I think it's a maybe it's a witch growing weed. No,
I think we might have two stories here because I like where you're going with
it. Oh, can my person meet your person and then they start a business together?
No, because they're just two stories. Because I like Ellen's idea of like more of the fantasy sides of things where it's like...
A fantasy. You don't know what will grow.
We're being secretive. Yes. We're planting seeds. We don't know what's going to happen.
But what if it's like she's like the person wanders into like an old shop? You know how you can like be in a Goodwill or something and find something random that was accidentally forgotten in like an old jar or something?
Ooh. She finds like this magic seeds.
Jar and there's seeds in there. And oh, so shit. Like planting it. But Amanda's idea, I like that as like a really funny comedy.
I'm thinking like Pineapple Express.
Because it makes me think of like out in Oregon, my
yes, aunt, Oregon coastal.
Do the seeds grow good drugs? Is that yes. what you're saying?
They could. I mean, they could, but out in Oregon, my aunt on the way to her house, there's this house we always passed, and you can grow your own marijuana there, but it cannot be seen from the road. So these people keep like makeshifting a wall taller and taller, and it's like one row is a fence, one layer is a tarp, and then it's like the most makeshift. So it seems like something funny of like
yes,
the Mbop Garden.
The Mbop Garden.
The Mbop Garden. Okay, but like, okay, but let's bring it back to like,
is there a witch? No, it's a witch. No, it's someone who didn't realize they had witchy powers until they discovered the magical seeds.
They plant the seeds that are drugs, but also make them a witch?
No, they plant the seeds. They plant the seeds that have magical powers, and they start giving them what grows, and things change in their lives.
More in the vein of like a Rebecca Searle kind of novel, where it's like a subtle magic.
Magical realism.
Yes.
Okay, tell me more.
So this person is growing the seeds and they're very unusual flowers. And she keeps trying to figure out like what their variety is because the plant packets, the seed packets weren't labeled. And so she takes them to people she thinks who know flowers. But when she gives them to them, their lives start changing. Ooh, so like good things happen that. Or they have realizations and like... She realizes maybe like what she's growing might contribute to it. And so, I don't know where Mbop comes in.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like bippity boppity boo. Bippity boppity boo.
Bippity boppity boo.
Mbop. I changed your life.
You know what? Anyone who's a real Hanson stan believes in the power of Mbop.
The shopkeeper. Of the place where she bought this jar that had the magic seeds inside that they didn't know about, they could always have like, but you don't know that. Like, it could be like a weird phrase.
You know what? The protagonist, her name could be Taylor.
Bop it over there.
Sure.
Because.
Or maybe like,
you know.
Well, or her, she could be Hanson.
She plants them and little bunnies pop up and she goes, bop. Like a.
Yeah, she just like, flaps them in.
What's that nursery rhyme?
Bop him on the head, little bunny foo foo.
Yeah, little bunny foo
foo. Hopping through the forest, keeping up the field mice, and bopping him on the head.
I feel like you guys are trying to cheapen the name of Mbop. I think we could call this novel
Mbop. I mean, it does make me think of IHOP.
I don't really think that's a great book title.
Well, you know what? We're going to leave that to the listeners.
It's going to be a phrase that they use and not the title. It will be called.
Why don't they just like both, like whatever the other side character is, they start jamming like they're in their gardening and they kind of just start group singing Mbop together. But could we like. Title
it's gonna be called
just, how about we leave like the Hanson secret related
a secret
Easter
no
eggs.
One knows a secret no one knows.
Oh, I like that.
Okay, does that work?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so
and there has to
winter
be little
2025
little Hanson Easter eggs throughout.
Okay, sure.
Okay,
so is it set in the south then, in like Oklahoma,
Tulsa?
I think Massachusetts
specifically.
I was thinking East
Hanson Tulsa. Is from Tulsa.
Yes.
Fine. Fine, but fine. Not that much grows in Oklahoma.
These are special flowers. Okay. Did you not listen to yourself?
See what grows.
It's a secret no one knows.
Okay. I like it.
All right. Our next one is Inside Out by Eve Six.
Do I know this one? Sing it.
The tick tock of the clock is painful, all sane and logical. I wanna tear it off the wall. I hear words and clips and phrases. I think sick like ginger ale. My stomach turns and I exhale. The part that you probably know is, wanna put my tender heart in a blender, watch it spin around to a beautiful oblivion.
Yeah, you were singing it too high.
Wanna put a tender heart in a blender.
It's much lower than what I was
We'll have to listen to this later at the store.
It's so dope, you guys. Everyone should listen to this song.
Because I don't think I know this one. Okay, this is what I see. A high school senior.
In math class.
Yeah, why are they like, watching the clock? Where are we at? Why are they so upset? Why do they want to put their tender heart in a blender? Let's go.
High school senior in math class.
Looking at that
really
fucking clock on
the
wall.
Yeah, has really bad cramps.
And they're like, I'm a kid in 2024. I don't even know how to read that kind of clock.
Yeah, yeah. And
is this a kid? Is this a dude or a girl?
It's a girl.
Oh, okay.
We're right. I mean, you know. We're taking over the narrative. The women, you know,
we're citing
books
the
are
the
about
genes.
Women. Yeah. So yeah, she has cramps, and so she wants to go home and lay in bed, but her mom won't let her stay home because she's kind of a hard ass mom. She's a nurse, and she's like, "I go to work every day and work like 16-hour shifts. So suck it up."
Yeah,
she's not allowed to skip, and you have to get good grades. Her heart is going in the blender because, you know, high school romance, angsty romance,
part divorcing. So she's got that like going on at home, but then is dealing with her own angst in her home.
Sure, I could. That takes, yeah, that works.
Yeah,
it's a good coming of age.
I also feel like she has to. There has to be some unrequited love.
Yeah, I feel unrequited love. Yeah, it's not a breakup.
It's not a romance. Love. It's unrequited love.
The aunt, the woman next door, her nephew has decided to stay with her, so she's taking in her nephew. So it's this weird. Friendship, unrequited love.
Yeah, she's in love with her best friend. Mm-hmm. And she has cramps.
He's
like,
a new best friend because she's lonely otherwise.
Yes, and she really wants him to notice her. And mm-hmm. he's like, maybe not noticing her as much.
Or he is getting the attention, you know, when a new kid
her
comes to school.
Her name is Brittany. His name is Josh.
No, those are boring names.
Did you say Brittany?
Yeah.
She is not a Brittany.
Brittany
she is
Josh.
More.
No.
I once had a student like who let Angela. Me name his frogs, Brittany and Josh.
No.
He can be Josh. He can be Josh.
I don't know. Josh is such a boring name.
I know.
No offense to Josh's out there. I think it's a great name, but not for this novel.
Yeah, he needs a little bit more edge.
Yes. Like Elliot or something.
Sure. Elliot and
Ezra.
Elliot does not have more
edge
than Josh.
Ezra. We have Ezra and
Jillian.
Yeah, Jillian. Sure. Jillian.
Jillian and Ezra.
Jillian and Ezra.
Okay.
I like it.
She's in class. She's having cramps. She can't read the clock because she's Gen Z or whatever. And she's like, ugh, I don't even know what time it is. And I hate school and I have cramps.
Oh, and she had just seen in the hallway all the popular girls like flirting with Ezra and trying to get his attention. He's just happy to be meeting new people.
Maybe they were like hanging out in the summer. It's like a little Grease
vibes.
Yes. But they weren't romantic, but they were like friends, you know?
Yeah.
And she likes him, and now he's at school and
he's the new guy.
He's the shiny new toy, and she's like worried that he's gonna like ditch her.
Yep.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to add to this plot?
No, but I kind of want to write it.
Okay.
They go on a summer road trip together after senior year. That's like their happily ever after. Like they commit to one another.
So it's like the summer, they meet the summer going into their senior year.
Uh-huh.
And so that summer they plan like that thing together. And then
and they don't
happy.
Know if it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And they get distant, but then they come back together.
Yeah.
And they go on the summer road trip. The end.
Yeah.
I feel like this story though, they don't end up together. I feel like they end up being like good friends.
Ellen is harsh.
I don't mind it.
Okay, fine. We'll see how it is when
we
read
it. We'll see,
You know, January 2026 when we get it.
Yeah, we'll see. We have to like pace ourselves with these books.
Three books so far we have to write?
Four.
We have to actually.
Oh, actually three. No, we're on four.
The fourth one yet. Yeah.
Okay, this next one, number four, fourth release. Okay. Will be You Were Meant for Me by Jewel, who we've referenced on this podcast periodically. Shout out to Jewel and her boyfriend, Kevin.
Yeah.
All right, here's the line.
Her old grandpa.
I got my eggs and my pancakes, too. I got my maple syrup, everything but you. Here are our questions.
Okay. I got something.
Who does this person need more than pancakes? Who is she missing that pancakes aren't enough?
It's Meghan Markle, and she went back to Canada to do Suits. And she is missing Harry.
No.
In Canada.
She's got her maple syrup. No. I can roll with you on like the Canada aspect of this, but not Meghan Markle.
No, I
fine. I would not read a Meghan Markle romance.
I, in fact, have
oh my God, read, what if it's queer romance? Read some,
and I don't think this fits into that.
Okay. It is a queer female hockey player who moved to Canada.
I'm so over this whole hockey narrative.
I know, but
people are going to yell at me for
that. I think it's fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah, it is so fucking amazing.
You're so funny.
She moved to Canada to get her chance at the Canadian Hockey League.
A hockey romance is goals.
Yeah.
You want us to write something
to make us $1 billion. This is it.
No, this sounds so lame. It sounds like a package. Okay, write your little.
We all know you like packages, Rachel.
Okay, what if she works for the DNR? What if she works from the National Park System and she gets to go work in Lake Louise in Canada? And it's like the dream job she always wanted, but now she's living in a cabin by herself and pining after the love she left in Glacier
pining
National.
Amongst the pines.
No, maybe in California, the Redwood National Forest, okay. The love she left behind. Okay. And they don't know how they're going to do it. It's the dream job.
Oh, and where's he at? Or she, where's she at? Where's the love behind?
In California, in the Redwood National. That's where they met. They had just kindled a romance.
In Canada.
She got the dream job at Lake
Louise.
That's
why she's rolling with the maple syrup.
So she meets a Mountie.
Yeah.
Is that what they're called, a Mountie?
Yeah.
Or she could meet Sasquatch.
Oh, yes. Yes, I like where you took this. Yes.
No,
Sasquatch. We're going to go there.
It could be a Sasquatch shifter.
Yeah. Oh, a Sasquatch shifter. It's a shifter. Yes. We're going there. Sorry. Okay. It happens.
I would like to be excused from this novel.
I like it. We'd buy it.
I think her name needs to be like...
Lovey is comforting me. That's how she's like... She knows I'm...
Lilith.
Yeah, Lilith.
Lilith, okay, is... How is she going to dump the person in California?
Well, no, she's just recovering from it.
Oh, they broke up. They legit broke up.
But she should be happy with the split. Like, I think it was like...
Well, it's a painful transition of life, and she's just lonely and questioning whether her decision was right.
Right. And then it's like she knows it was the right decision, but it's also like, oh, now I'm here by myself in this cabin, and all I got is eggs and pancakes.
And it's cold at night.
Maybe I need something furry.
Because the heating broke in her cabin.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
It could be a love triangle between the Yeti Sasquatch and her.
No. Rachel, perv.
Oh, stop. Go back to your home on Whore Island.
I told Rachel yesterday, I rolled down my window and shouted at her. Go back to your home.
Okay,
on
but how
Whore
many
Island.
Times did you have to yell at me?
I said that to my daughter yesterday because I'm that kind of mother. And she had a great comeback.
What was it?
Well, I said I didn't want to be neighbors
She goes, why was I born on Whore Island? Right on. Okay. Okay, last
in
one.
This is so good.
HR violation.
This one's so good.
I should lead an HR seminar.
Oh, Jesus. You know what? Doesn't Deanne work in HR? I bet she'd love to hear.
Oh, my God.
Why don't you go back to your home on Whore Island?
Things my boss has said to me that I've kept in a file for 3 years.
Okay. The Sign by Ace of Base.
This is so good. Please sing it.
I saw the sign, and it opened up my eyes. I saw the sign. No one's gonna drag you up to get into the light where you belong.
This is an aspiring artist.
This is an alien abduction. This is a fucking alien abduction.
Okay.
The light where you belong?
Mm-hmm. I think it's the show lights. It is someone who wants to make it big, like Ace of Base. It's a musical.
All right, Rachel, this is a tiebreaker. Is this someone who wants to make it big on Broadway, or is this an alien abduction story?
No, this is like ABBA. ABBA becoming Mamma Mia. They're going to take Ace of Base and turn it into whatever the title is. The Sign.
Alien musical.
The Sign. We went weird on the last one.
Off Broadway. No, I kind of like the idea of workshopping like some weird Roswell themed Broadway musical.
Okay. See, we can meet halfway. It's a Roswell. That's where the aliens are, people, in case you didn't know.
Duh.
Musical. Mm-hmm. And they're in a band. And where they make it big is in outer space.
Yes!
Oh my gosh, like Protozoa, the first musician to perform in space, just so you guys know.
I didn't know that.
Okay. Yeah.
Xenon, if you watch.
Yes, Xenon, yeah. Fucking A. Yes, I love that.
Protozoa, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay, so what was the sign that they saw specifically? Was it like words on a sign, or was it like an omen? It just was like an
arrow saying this way.
This way to space.
With like Las Vegas lights.
This way to your abduction.
Come over here. Visit us. Oh yeah, I like the Las Vegas, because don't they have that in Roswell, like a sign similar to like the welcome to Las Vegas sign? I think they have one similar in Roswell.
I'm going to look it up.
But I feel like the lyrics here beg some questions. No one's gonna drag you up to get into the light where you belong.
Oh yeah, there's
so it's like, you know what, the aliens eventually are gonna be like, you know what, we're not gonna like drag you into outer space, you have to jump
on a trampoline and grab hold of this, you know, spaceship. What,
like, this is your opportunity. You want to come to space and make it big, it's
okay
yours.
How about gonna, the like, aliens are trying to find a new performing act, and they like reach out and they're like, hey, so I know you don't know about us yet, humans,
we've heard you singing in the desert at night.
Like, you reached up to us in the stars.
What if it's because like the protagonist like, using like sings weird, in the shower?
They're like using some weird equipment or something like that.
Yeah. And what so if she's really into astrology?
It's like a garage band and they like have heard them playing.
And the aliens are like, look, we've got some really big fans. I know this is like a weird situation for you.
Ooh.
But would you guys mind coming and doing a performance? Yes. But like aliens are not really a known thing on Earth. So this is like a whole.
And they were working like dive bars.
Yes.
It was like so sketchy. They were almost going to give up.
And like the aliens could be like, look, there's a lot more out there than you guys even know. We can take you to like our spaceship where we want you to perform. And if you're interested in visiting and doing a tour around our planet, there's
a global. You know what? Then each of the band members has a perspective and they're each grappling with their like. They're each having their own existential crisis around
Sure.
I love it.
Yeah. It's like a Disney Channel movie.
This will be our masterpiece. So wait, the culminating project.
So we're not doing the Broadway aspect of it anymore.
No Broadway. Okay. They're discovered.
Just a garage band in Roswell.
That was working at dive bars and about to give up.
Yeah.
Until the aliens said, we have big fans.
And the aliens don't look on like, you're near.
What's
ones.
The name of the band?
Let's reference the lyrics.
Going up.
Mm, there you go.
Ooh. Or the light. That's kind of religious. Where you belong.
No.
Open up my eyes.
The pale moon.
They're workshopping their name.
They're workshopping their name.
And then the aliens come up with a name for it, and it's like,
No!
Say it again. One more time.
It sounds like a tropical bird. It's like a tropical bird. No. So.
You know what? I think we could make really great authors.
I think we could.
Maybe we should sit down and round table it and knock out a few chapters.
Nice. All right, that's all I got. Good job, guys. Good workshop. We have books planned for the next year or so.
You know, it's that Iowa water. You know, maybe we might as well be inducted.
Let's go to Iowa City and drink out of the river. Yeah. And perhaps
great novels will come forth. All right, what's popping this week, Ellen? Two of our favorites
coming out this week. We got some good books dropping.
Okay, you've talked to us before about The Hunter, but refresh people's memories. Why do they need to pick this up today for new release day? Number one, because we have signed copies, but number two.
We have signed copies. So I will say you do need to read The Searcher first, but you could pick up The Hunter today,
right?
As well as The Searcher if you haven't read it. Tana French is the author. She's best known for her series, The Dublin Murder Squad, but this is a new series. So The Hunter is second in the series. And I was reading a little bit about her reasons for writing this series, because it is quite a departure from the Dublin Murder Squad, which is very like cop procedural, like they're amazing. But this is very different. And she was very much inspired by Lonesome Dove and Westerns, which makes a ton of sense. So in the first book, The Searcher, the main character is Cal Hooper. He is a retired, early retired cop from Chicago who moves to Ireland in a rural village, and he just wants to live a very quiet life. And he gets there is a local teenager whose older brother has gone missing, and people just assume that the older brother, Brendan, has run off. And Trey, the teenager, does not believe that. Trey believes that something more nefarious has happened and knows that Cal is a retired cop and goes to him and, like, begs his help. And Cal, very reluctantly over time, gets involved in investigating this case and solves it, but also forms this very close bond with Trey, kind of a father-like figure. Trey's father is not in the picture. So in The Hunter, it's sort of a continuation of these characters. So Cal is still the main character. Trey is also a main character. A couple years have passed. They're very close. Trey's doing well. They have a little, like, business they do together where they repair furniture. And then one day, out of the blue, Trey's dad, like, rolls into town. And he is kind of a piece of shit. He has a scheme where he's going to get rich quick, and he pulls a lot of the locals into it. And Cal sees Trey sort of fighting with this, wrestling with this, like, how, like, trying to have a relationship with her dad, but not knowing how to do it. He doesn't want her to get caught up in this scheme. He feels like she's come a long way. Like, the locals, like, really trust her. They've built that she's doing great in school. They've got this little business, and he doesn't want her reputation to be dragged down by her dad. And so he sort of gets himself involved in the scheme just to keep eyes on it. And eventually, there is a murder in the book that Cal has to figure out and solve. But it's very much a book about the characters and the relationships. Mm-hmm. And Tana French, no one does it better. So you got to check it out.
I love it.
You should read all her books.
Right.
All right. Tell us about the next one. Another one I also loved.
Speaking of someone you need to read all of her books, we discovered her last year with her debut novel. Xochitl Gonzalez wrote Anita DeMonte Left's Last, coming out this Tuesday. It's a dual timeline story. It features Anita DeMonte in the 1980s, who is a rising star in the art world, but she ends up in a relationship with a very successful white sculpturist, and she kind of has to take the back seat to his career. He kind of finagles things so that she doesn't get a chance to pursue the residencies that she would like to, because she needs to support him through his art shows and his little insecurities. It's a very manipulative, at times emotionally abusive relationship. And at some point in 1985, she ends up dead after a party in which they've kind of sparred emotionally in front of other people. The other timeline is Raquel, who has become, it was an art student in also in New York. She falls, and while she's a student of art and would like to be like a gallerist or a museum curator, she falls in love with a well-connected older student who's kind of like the belle of the ball. Everyone's talking about his work, thinks he's the up-and-coming next hottest thing. He's well-connected and wealthy. So you see this parallel between the types of relationships, two women of color who support the egos of white male artists. And in her final years of college, she is supposed to be coming up with like a thesis, you know, something that she writes her final paper on. And she discovers the work of Anita DeMonte, the woman behind this great sculptress that so many people herald. And she can't believe nobody knows about this woman or that she played a part in this male sculptress's life. And so she's really digging into the untold story, and in the process kind of starts to discover the parallels between Anita DeMonte's life with her partner, as well as her own, Raquel's own relationship with this kind of emotionally abusive white male artist. So it's seeing how both of their trajectories move forward. There's a bit of magical realism or spiritual elements that are really cool. And I think it's just an amazing story about women in art, women in relationship with fragile male egos. I thought it was outstanding.
I loved it. I loved it so much. And I loved Gonzalez's first book, Olga Dies Dreaming. This one I loved even more.
Yeah, it was really sophisticated. The first was amazing. This was truly sophisticated. Yeah,
this is an exceptional book.
Rachel, you called it one of the best books you've read in a long time.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was fucking fantastic.
Yeah. Right.
I'm excited to, like, hold my hands, like, on a physical copy. Hold my hands.
With that, keep the champagne flowing.
And the books going.
And the books going.
And listen to my playlist.
Or don't.
Good job. Why do you want to put my tender heart in a blender, Rachel?
Remember to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. And for more Dog-Eared Books hijinks, follow us on Instagram @DogEaredBooksAmes or on TikTok @DogEaredBooks.